where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. And it sounds like we had a little interference there on the intro. It's Wednesday. It's July 22nd. I'm excited about this week. Got a lot going on. We had our Tough Talk Business Network yesterday here in the Houston area. That's always a great time for you networkers out there. If you're a business owner and you're not networking, you need to check it out, okay? It's really important. That's the best way to grow your business. And one of the things that we worked on yesterday, well, we played a game. It was called Network Bingo, and everybody's heard of bingo, right? I mean, it's a game that people play in churches and Elks clubs in different parts across the country. But Network Bingo is it's a way for business owners that are a little shy, maybe introverts, not real fast on getting up and asking people questions. It gives you a chance to learn the people in the room. It allows you to step out of that business mode for a second and just have a little bit of fun. We all know having a little bit of fun is important, and it allows us to build relationships with people other than just about the business. Now, business is important. That's how we make our living. I get it. But no one really wants to hear about anything that you're doing until they understand a little bit about who you are. So it's a great way to break the ice. If you run networking groups or you belong to them, check it out. You can find it online on Google. Just search Play Network Bingo. It's a good time. We try to do some summer games and have less speakers in the summertime because, well, the crowd's usually lighter. People are traveling, taking some time off. Kids are out of school. There's a whole bunch of things and reasons why people out there are not in networking groups. That leaves me a little confused sometimes. I know that maybe missing 1 week out of the year, one week out of the summer because of a vacation is important. But I also know that having commitment to something that you're doing in the business is important. So there's a lot of things we can go back and forth on. But if you read my article this past week, my newsletter article was about taking time off for some time, vacation time. And it's summertime and we're doing that. And one of the questions I asked is, when you go on vacation, do you leave your work at your office? Do you have people in place to run your business while it's taking place, or do you take your work with you? If you answer that you take your work with you, well, you're not on vacation, you're just working in a different location. Okay, let's think about something here. We're here to build a business, to provide value for our clients, but also to provide a better lifestyle for our family. And if you do that and neglect your family, well, it's kind of a waste of time, right? It's real important, folks, to make sure that you have people in place, things in place, so that when you take some time off, your business still goes on. If not, then you really aren't in business. You're just working for an employer with the same name that you have. So think about that. I know I'm excited. I was just in Corpus this weekend and got to spend some time down on the beach and looking to go up to the lake next week just to spend some time out of the office, and also looking to go on a week's vacation with my wife here before the summer is over. That might get prolonged into October. Who cares, as long as I get it, right? The thing of it is you have to plan it in your calendar. You have to plan it in your business plan in January that you're going to take some time off. Now, that week off might change within 2 to 3 weeks time, from where you originally set the date. But the fact is, if you set it in your calendar, if you put it in your business plan, you'll be able to put the money aside to say that you can afford it. Not that you can afford it. You'll be able to teach people to do some of the things that you do without you being there. Now, I know as a business owner, no one's better at it than we are, right? Well, maybe right. But in our minds, I'm convinced it's right. But the fact of the matter is, if the job gets done with a different smile than yours, that's good. Because if you can go away in your business and can stay operating, you've done a good job in your business. If it can't, eventually it's going to fall out. A lot of you followed me for 6-7 years now on the air, and you know my story. I had a remodeling business for 10 years, got sick. Such a control freak, I couldn't let go of the business. So I lost the business. Yeah, so, you know, there I was, remodeling kitchens and bathrooms, and now here I am as a radio host. Was it a good thing? I got blessed, I think, and I landed on my feet properly. Only because, well, I like to think of myself as strong-minded. My wife says I'm stubborn. I wouldn't quit. So no matter what it is that you're doing, prepare for it to be able to work without you being there in case you get sick, something happens that you can't be there, or you want to take some time off. It's really, really important. We work so hard for all the things that we want, but we don't plan any time off or any time alone from that business. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's worth it. I don't want to work that hard. I want some time off. Yeah, I want a successful business. I want clients, and I know that the first couple of years are tough. So maybe you take a weekend off. Maybe you take a day off. Try it out. You'll find that you are regenerated. You know, if you leave your computer or your smartphone on all the time and never shut it off and let it get updates, what happens? It becomes a mess. So do we as people. It's fast out there. It's noisy out there. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of distractions. And if you're not willing to take charge of yourself, well, everything else around you is going to fall too. Just saying. So, challenge of the week for everyone out there that's willing to take a challenge, write it down on top of the paper that you have in front of you. Plan some time off. I'll give you, if you're one of those people that really want to go to the extreme, take some time off with your phone off. I know people are just like, is he out of his mind? Seriously, folks. I mean, unless you're a brain surgeon, how important could that text message or that spammed email or that notice on Facebook, how important could it be? I mean, if you need more attention like that, spend some time with your family and you'll see the attention you get from that. Nothing can replace it. Okay, so every week we talk about different things with different guests. This week is a good show, and I'm just going to speak from the selfish side of me. Every show we do here at Tough Talk Radio Network is a good show. We always have great guests. We're always looking for great guests. We're always looking for more hosts. We're always looking to see what we can do to help others spread their message. Now, today we have a gentleman that I had the pleasure of meeting a couple of years back he's out of Toronto, but he offices out of Las Vegas. His name is Ken Dunn, and we're going to be talking to him here in a little bit. We also have another gentleman by the name of Jeff Harmon, and Jeff is, he's someone that, he's in the astrology world. I know that sounds like, whoa, but not really, folks, okay? It's really important for us to understand everything under our feet and above our heads, okay? So make sure to refill your coffee, get some water, get some paper, take some notes, call into the show, 347-989-1363. And if you do anything today, learn something. Just learn something. If you're not growing, nothing's working in your favor. So you're going to have the chance, I promise you that, to learn a bunch from this show. You can find out more by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com. If you're in the Houston area, if you're in the state of Texas, we have a big event coming up Saturday. I call it big because, well, it is a big event, and I'll be speaking at it. It's called the Life Changing Conference. It's a women's conference, and it's put on by a lady by the name of Shelly Rice. If you go to Life Changing Conference on Facebook or type in Shelly Rice on Facebook, you'll find it. She's got a big following. If you don't know her, meet her. If you don't know her and you meet her, tell her a Tough Talk Radio Network sent you there to meet her. She's going to be in 7 locations in the state of Texas here in the next 8 weeks. So make sure to be able to stop by and see that. You have anywhere from 100 to 1,000 people attending these events. So this is an opportunity for you to gain access to more. All right. I'm going to take a commercial break. We can come back with my first guest, a gentleman by the name of Ken Dunn, who's not only the creator of the new platform Reader's Legacy, he's also the author of 4 books and the publisher of Next Century Publishing. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Fill up the coffee. We'll see you in a minute.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and we're here on Workshop Wednesday. And every Wednesday from 10:30, 11:30 Central Standard Time, you can find us here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Remember, you can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com, find all the list of shows that we have and all the opportunities available for you to be a guest, be a host. If you've never done it before, we can take time out and train you as well. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Just type in Tough Talk Radio Network or Tony Gambone. Stop by and give us a like. Friend us on Facebook. However it is that you want to connect, we look forward to helping you get recognized on the internet. Do you know that internet radio, there's over 140 million people per month listening to it? So, you know, that's a great opportunity to get the message out. My first guest today is a gentleman by the name of Ken Dunn. And as I mentioned, he's the creator of the new platform, Reader's Legacy. And he's also an author. He's authored 4 books. He's a publisher of Next Century Publishing. Actually, I think he's the founder of it as well. And he's out of Las Vegas. He houses in Toronto. So I want to welcome Ken to the show. Ken, welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tony. It's really a pleasure to be with you. I've listened to you for years and excited about this opportunity.
Well, we really are looking forward as well. You know, I met you in Dallas at an event for one of our hosts here. Judy Hoberman did a compilation book up there. And I've spoken to you a lot of times on the phone, but let's let people know a little bit about you that don't know you, Ken. I mentioned that you're from Toronto and you're in Las Vegas. That seems like a long commute. I mean, I know it's a little easier to set a business up in Las Vegas for a lot of different reasons, especially if you're coming out of Canada. But how does that work as a business owner? We spoke about taking time with our family. How does that work? How do you balance that out?
Well, you know what, Tony? So the background story is that I started my adult life in investigative policing. I spent 14 years in policing disciplines that included undercover drug operations. I was a homicide cop. I was an interrogator. And when I turned 30, my wife told me we were about to have our first child, and I got out of policing, and I became an entrepreneur. I built 3 businesses in 3 different industries that made us a fortune, my wife and I. And I realized during that process I was a sales guy, and I wanted to write a book. I wrote my first book up here in Canada, and got messed over by a publisher, and so that made us want to start our own company. Then we came up with a crazy idea to build a brand new platform for people who love books that would be what would happen if you combined together Goodreads, Facebook, and Amazon. It's called readerslegacy.com. And when we had this idea to do it, our advisors said that we needed to have a Delaware corporation and we needed to be headquartered in a tax-free state. And so we set up our company in Las Vegas. We actually have offices in Vegas, Toronto, and Panama. I spend 50% of my time in each place. We have homes in both places, and we're out there trying to change the way people write, read, and experience books. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, and I like the fact that you travel with your family. I mean, you have houses in both places. So do you have children?
Yeah, I do, buddy. My son just turned 14 3 days ago, and my daughter's 11.
That's good. So they get to travel and see different places as well and see what you're doing. I think that's a lesson that they can't learn in school, and that's a great opportunity. So, Ken, I want to talk about, you know, I've authored, I'm coming out with my third book, and you've done four books, and, you know, books now are a big thing. It's a great way to prove credibility. There's all the right reasons, but there's a lot of people out there, Ken, that don't really realize the value of a book. Well, not the value of a book, their own value to be in a book. So when you meet people, how do you talk to them about recognizing the importance of getting their story between two covers of a book?
Well, here's what I've realized, Tony. I don't really try and convince people that they need to do that anymore, because you know, the New York Times, USA Today, they've all done research and surveyed just average groups of Americans. And what they've found time and again is that 70% of people in America already want to write a book. So what I've decided to focus on, let me step back a second. I've written four books already. I've sold 250,000 copies of these books in over 18 countries. My fifth book comes out on October 6th. It's called The Greatest Prospector in the World. The website is greatestprospector.com. It's already been reviewed by, and I've got comments in it from 9 New York Times bestselling authors. On the cover is an endorsement from Publishers Weekly that says, a satisfying, well-paced tale that successfully blends fiction and guiding principles for attaining wealth and success. This book, everybody in the industry says it's going to hit the New York Times bestsellers list. So I've spent the last 15 years figuring out exactly what it takes to become a world-renowned author, not just somebody that pumps out books on Amazon that are garbage, but I'm talking books that people love to read. And so what I do now is I spend most of my time, Tony, not convincing people to write books, but helping them to understand the value of doing it right. Because a book is a representation of you. And if you put a garbage book out with a terrible cover, edited by somebody that doesn't understand book editing, that's a reflection of you as a professional. And a good book will help your career, but a crappy book will hurt your career.
So it's a little bit different than a video. You know, they tell people, just put a video up there. It's 2 minutes or less. Gain attention on this on the internet. And people say, well, I don't have a professional videographer, you know, and all that. And so with a video, it's a little bit different than a book, correct? I mean, in a book, it's not a free thing that you get to watch for 2 minutes. It's something that you purchase. And when they get it in their hands, when they hold it, it's an emotional connection that starts. And when they read it, it's really the icing on that emotional cake. So that's what allows them to follow you deeper. So with the world being so easy to be a self-published author, or, you know, just to upload it yourself on CreateSpace or different things like that, do you find that a lot of people come back to you and say, it didn't work out the way I planned, it seemed easy enough, but there's a lot more work to it, could you help me?
Yeah, you know, Tony, unfortunately, that happens every day. There's over 1.2 million new books published every year in America, and frankly speaking, 90% of them are garbage. You know, everybody is trying to pinch pennies, and I don't blame them. I know that money is tough these days, but they end up going to Lulu or CreateSpace, who really don't care about the quality of the content. They're just a mass market machine. And they never get the books properly edited. They never get proper opinions on it because either they don't want to spend the money or they just want to rush it out the door. And the reality is, if you do that, if you rush it out the door and you get that ugly, terrible reading book into the market, then you're going to fall prey to the age-old adage. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. And believe me, a great book will do amazing things to enhance your career, but a poorly constructed book will hurt you. And so then you get people that run around saying that they've published books and that they're, you know, they're an author, and then somebody reads the book and they're left with a, holy cow, this is crap. So that means everything about that person must be crap. And so Tony, frankly, I spend most of my time helping people to understand the value of taking your time, doing it right, investing a bit of money, and helping your business grow.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned in my monologue that I had a remodeling business, and I used to do kitchens and bathrooms, and I had a lot of customers who call me up after they spent a Saturday at a Home Depot taking a free class on how to do something, bought the tool, went home, tore the wall down, and didn't know what to do.
Exactly.
And that's the world we live in. I mean, everyone thinks, well, how hard could it be? I mean, it's just no big deal. I teach people how to do radio shows, and of course, anybody could fire up the thing on Black Talk and start talking, but how do you monetize that? How do you get value out of it? How do you show the real credibility there? Because as you said, you don't get very many chances to go back and make a second impression on someone, okay? So it's important to get it right the first time. What are some of the tips that you tell people to, or some of the things to be aware of? So, I mean, because, you know, there's webinars every day, all day long, on how to create a book in 3 hours, and how to get on Amazon as a top seller, and how to do this, and how to do that. How do you... What are some of the things that you say to people that they should be aware of, that a flag might go up if they hear this or they think this, so that they know, well, it's something I might look in deeper?
Well, so the fact is, because there's so many books out there today, there are some absolute do's and do not do's if you're going to do a book properly. And somebody who's just trying to pump out a self-published book isn't going to understand it. Like, as an example, Tony, there is a difference in the way a book must be laid out if it's fiction versus nonfiction. And there are rules about nonfiction books and how they're laid out and which pages are blank and what's the order of the first 10 pages that are the accepted standards of practice in the professional publishing industry. And these are the things that the bookstores look for. And these are the things that experts look for when they're determining how credible you are, the author, about your book. And so there's too many of them to go through. So what I tell people is, use a real publisher. There's lots of great hybrid publishers. Next Century Publishing, my company, was just rated as one of the fastest growing publishing companies in America by Publishers Weekly. Obviously, we know what we're doing. And what people, our clients, find when they come to us is that they end up paying no more than that they'd pay at CreateSpace, but they're getting better quality books. If you go to any Barnes & Noble in America, you're going to find Next Century Publishing books in the bookstore. We have books all over America. And so my biggest piece of advice is, stop trying to figure it out yourself. I mean, it's a great example, Tony. If you need heart surgery, you're going to a doctor. If you need your teeth fixed, you're going to a dentist. Why would somebody think that they would go and construct a book on their own without an expert?
Yeah, I mean, we live in a world where people say, how hard could it be, right? So... I'll give you some examples. Blogging for a while was like a huge, huge thing. Everybody was a blogger for at least 2 months. Then it fell off. And 3 years later, when you clicked on their website tab, it said blog. And it said last blog posted was 2012. You lost credibility. Okay? They're not even smart enough to go back and take the tab down. Doing radio shows, same thing. Writing books. People think, well, if you self-publish a book and you get it out there, it's done. Well, it's not done, because there's a lot of work to do afterwards. Even if you have a publishing company, you still have to stay involved in it for it to be, for the process to work. It's not, a done-for-you service. You can help them write the book, but when it comes time to market it, you can help them market the book, but they still have to stay plugged in. And if it's not good quality, if they're not getting good feedback, it's like that blog last posted 2012. You have a box of books sitting in the garage that no one's doing nothing with. So it's real important to have professional people involved. In three books, the one thing I learned is that there's a lot of moving parts that make all the difference before they start reading.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, Tony, I actually write a blog called it's learnhowtowriteabookin2hours.com. No, you can't write a book in 2 hours, but you can learn the basics of it. So on that, I write articles regularly on what new indie authors have to do to help their publishers. So I'm glad you said that. So we're going to make the book amazing. We're going to present you to the bookstores, and we're going to get your book onto bookshelves if you do your part. And that includes going out and making a name for yourself, your social media. It includes connecting with your local market, doing free seminars. And our company teaches authors how to do all that stuff. We just started a new mentoring program for all of our authors, the nonfiction authors. And that stuff is just so crucially important. And those are the things that the author can help with.
Right. And it's important. I mean, I always, diets are the biggest thing in our country. It's just, it's a great industry. The problem is we go on a diet, we lose 10 pounds. And then we go back to the same old things we were doing before, which makes no sense, right? So unless you're a diet company, now you're hoping that they come back in, 3 months again. But the thing of it with a book is it's really important to understand that if you don't invest your time and your money into your project, it's not going to be successful. If you don't invest your time in growing yourself, learning, being better as a human being, your business isn't going to benefit from it. So the book is just another marketing tool in your business or in your life, but it takes consistent effort in order for it to win. It's not just because I call Ken Dunn and I got the best cover in the world that I'm going to be successful. People still have to know the book's there.
Right. That's right.
So there's a lot more parts to it. So, Ken, we're running out of time quickly here on the show. What do you have coming up that people can plug into? You mentioned you have a new book coming out, but for Reader's Legacy, how can they plug into that? How can they get more involved with that?
Yeah, listen, readerslegacy.com. It's really simple, just like it sounds. The publishing industry believes that readerslegacy.com is going to compete with Amazon. If you love books, it gives you a chance to create a page that profiles the books you love. There's an empty bookshelf, and you click and add a book button, and you type in the title of the book, and you add it. You add all your books to it. And Tony, an expert like you, you get an author's page in addition to that where you can profile your books, and you can build a list there, and we're going to give you that list. We're actually going to let you download the list and do whatever you want with it. We've already got thousands of people in the first 30 days that have created accounts. We're selling books every single day. And authors who are not plugging in to readerslegacy.com are already behind the boat. If you take a look at the launch of any major social media platform, the people that were in first ended up creating millions from the fact that they learned how to market it with the company. This isn't one of those little meme things. We've got seven programmers that work full-time at our office in Panama. We've written 3 million lines of code. We've invested $2 million in a platform that is as cool and fun and interactive as Facebook. It's readerslegacy.com. Just check it out. Set up an account. Give it a shot.
And people, if you're out there listening, you're driving, you can go to the website whenever you want. You can do it on your phone, readerslegacy.com. I don't recommend doing it while you're driving. Pull over. It's on Facebook. It's on Tough Talk Radio Network's Facebook page as well. You can also, how can they contact you, Ken?
Really simple. Just email me, ken@readerslegacy.com, or you can go to my website, kendunn.org, kendunn.org.
Okay, very good. Well, Ken, we appreciate your time on here. When you get the book, when the book comes out, book number 5, please come back and let us help share that with everyone on the airways that book is out and available. I've seen something on your website where the book, title of the book is, it's coming
the
out.
The greatest prospector in the world.
Right. And there's a place where you can sign up there to get a free chapter out of the book or something when it comes out. Is that correct?
Absolutely. At greatestprospector.com.
Very good. Well, Ken, we appreciate your time. We hope that, I don't hope. I know that your book will be another bestseller. And I look forward to having you back on the show.
Brother, thanks for this, and really great to connect with you again.
All right, pal. Take care. Okay, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to take a commercial break and come back with my second guest, Jeff Harmon. He's a master astrologer, has over 2,000 clients, and has been practicing for over 35 years. He's helped many people maximize their success with electional astrology, the art of picking an auspicious time to open a business, sign a lease, or launch a website. So I'm excited about this. I can't wait to get back here. We'll be right back.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Attention entrepreneurs, it's time to get real. Real about who you are, where you want to be, and what you're willing to do to get there. To make the leap from just getting by, to making real money and making a real difference in this world takes a plan and certain skills. If you are serious about building a business that makes a difference in this world, join Michelle Sism at her Legacy Live event in Houston, Texas, September 10th through the 12th. Learn more at legacyliveevent.com. We will see you there.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Workshop Wednesdays. My name is Tony Campbell. I'm your host here every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 Central Standard Time here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more about us by going to toughtalkradionetwork.com. Or you can actually call into the show and talk to the guest, 347-989-1363. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. Okay, so folks, my first guest, Ken Dunn, great guest, great guy. If you haven't had the pleasure of meeting him, make sure to check him out on readerslegacy.com. And my second guest is a gentleman by the name of Jeff Harmon. And as I mentioned, he's an astrologer, and he has over 2,000 clients that he's been practicing with. And he's had a lot of success in when helping people make a choice, whether to open a business, sign a lease, or launch a website. Okay, it's very useful. Astrology is very useful for making decisions. And, well, I know for myself, I want to find out what's coming up in my world, but this show is going to be about the listeners. So call into the show, find out what's coming up to your world, 347-989-1363. And Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tony.
It's my pleasure. Jeff, I'd like to let people find out a couple of things. First of all, where you're calling in from, where you're from originally.
Well, I'm calling in from California right now. I'm out in a little place called West Hills, which is right next to Malibu and Calabasas. So, yeah, that's where I'm from originally. It's actually the Midwest, way up north in a little town called Eagle River. It's actually Saner is where I'm originally from. But I moved out to the Los Angeles area many, many years ago. And I lived in Tucson for a while. We've been moving around, so.
Yeah, very good. So a lot better weather. where
it's nice weather here. You can't beat 75 degrees all year long, no.
Yeah, especially in the winter. So
Yeah.
So Jeff, now I mean, you're a master astrologer. You've been doing it for over 35 years. So
Actually, I'm feeling old. It'll be 40 years about next year, because it was about 1975 was when my mother first introduced it to me, and I actually thought I was skeptical. I said, come on, this stuff doesn't work. But what she got me into was my girlfriends, because at the time I was driving, she was just so spot on. And she actually was a nurse practitioner, and she was really quite good at it, I have to say. And that's how I got into it.
So
originally,
okay, you know, in today's world, it's like back in 1975, that was probably the closest thing to witchcraft that people were talking about.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some people still think it is.
Right. And things have changed. I mean, holistic medicine is, you know, healing has gotten more recognized,
sure,
and astrology and all the different things. And so I just want to make sure of something. We're not saying that you can predict the future. Is that safe to say?
Well, that's a good way to put this. And you know, I'm glad you broached this subject, because this is one I have to contend with externally all the time. Again, like I have to say, in the 80s, I actually taught a physics class at college, and I was teaching basic electronics and music theory. And the interesting thing is, on the other side, I'm doing astrology, this woo-woo science. I have to tell you, prior to the 1700s, astrology was astronomy. There was no difference. Benjamin Franklin said it best. He said, no emperor, no king, no general would commence an important act without first looking at electional astrology. I actually have a mural with George Washington in his apron, Masonic apron, and they're laying the cornerstone of this country's foundation, for the capital, at a very specific astrological time. And this has been a well-kept secret, because the religions have made this out to be, it's worshiping the devil or playing with the divination and all that. And, you know, not to get convoluted here, but this goes way back to the Vulgate translations, back in the early, with the Nicene Councils. We're talking here about 400 AD, 500 AD. And they basically said any divinatory practices whatsoever are the work of the devil. And the problem with that is, they're right. I agree with them in one sense. That was summoning spirits and all that woo-woo stuff that actually does go on still today in some secret societies. But it's the art of divination through astrology was always a divine act. It was, in fact, you can get your guardian angel from your birth chart.
Right.
Now, I don't know what's too demonic about that.
Right. And you know, knowing that God created it, the stars and the earth and everything around us, doesn't mean that he didn't leave messages in that.
Absolutely. The fascinating thing about this astrology is the ancient stuff is practical. For instance, if you want to ask a question, you know, is it in my best interest to sue so-and-so, and if so, will I win? Should I marry so-and-so? Is this business my best course of action? These are what we call interrogations. You don't even need your birth chart. And you mentioned before, is this predicting the future? No, it's not. It's predicting probable outcomes based on current states of consciousness. And if you think about that, everybody's got their belief system, and they're usually going to stick to it. Some people change, but for the most part, when somebody's really engaged in a business pursuit emotionally, they're going to pursue it. And God bless them for that, because drive and passion and talent and skills are the most important thing any entrepreneur can ever have. And I always tell people, don't expect astrology to replace that one. If you don't know what you're doing, if you are not passionate about what you're doing. So I run into that a lot where people, well, geez, you know, do you think, does the chart say I'll become a millionaire? Well, buddy, you're probably going to have a little bit of a rough time. The guys that I like that come in here, and they're already usually millionaires, and they're saying, okay, I'm going here. Tell me what's in my way. Now, that's a whole different attitude. Astrology is like a stop-and-go light. it's you, when the light's green, you're probably going to do a lot better crossing the intersection, right, than when it's red. But you better know how to drive. And that's the key. Astrology, very similar, is like an airline pilot taking off. Okay, if you got somebody leaving Houston, Texas, and they're flying to New York or L.A., I don't want to be with the pilot who says, geez, you know, do you think we'll make it? No, you want to be with the pilot who says, we're going to L.A. or New York, okay? Look at the radar. What's in our way? Oh, we got a storm over here. Guess what? We're not going to go that way, and if we do, we're going to fly above it. That's how astrology is it allows you to see on the radar screen what's there so you can make a more strategic plan of attack for your business. And if you use it superstitiously, well, that's something I don't involve myself with. It's a very scientific, practical tool. Location astrology as well is amazing. I've had psychiatrists and psychologists as clients and still do. And it's amazing how accurate we have found the emotional response to where you live. There's longitude and latitude lines for everyone. Everyone's different. There's also progressions and transits that change throughout your life. And most importantly, there's cycles that we take no matter where we move on the globe. So, again, nothing replaces skill, talent, passion, drive, and I think passion and drive are two of the most magical, amazing things that human beings have and computers and machines will never have. That's why we are divine. And that's the magic, I think, of being an entrepreneur.
So, you know, they say, if you believe it, it could happen, right? And if you go out with the right mindset of being, so if you put all positive words in your mouth instead of all negative words, which is really difficult to do, but you're going to have more success with the positive side of things. At least you'll feel better, right? So when we talk about astrology, a lot of times, I guess this is my question. Do people just compare that to the horoscope?
Well, it is. Astrology is complex. You have birth chart readings. I use an older system. It's actually, believe it or not, we don't know if it's Egyptian or Babylonian or Greek. That's one system that basically shows up like 200-300 BC or if not earlier. It was a very cohesive system back then. And then I also use the stuff out of India. So there's a bunch of branches in that. And what it is, you have your birth chart, which is basically personal cycles, and everybody's got them. Then you have the art of electional astrology, which is picking auspicious times to get married, start LLCs, to open a business. I do a lot of business grand openings all the time. I could tell so many stories about that. It's fascinating. I'll tell you one real brief story. There was a guy in West Hollywood, this had to be 15, 20 years ago. He was completely empty, and the restaurant across the street, which was the Earth Cafe at the time, next to the Bodhi Tree, was packed. You could lying around the block, couldn't get a table. So I needed to work, so I went in there really quick, and I said, hey, I said, you know, how come there's only three flies here, and that guy's got a line around the block? He goes, I don't know, but he says, I know one thing. He says, if I don't change this, he says, I'm going bankrupt. He said, I borrow money from my family, and on and on. I said, well, what time did you open this place? And he says, oh, I remember. It was 2-3 years ago, whenever it was. He said, it was exactly at this time. So I cast a chart. I said, I'm going to do you a favor. I cast the chart. I said, number one, buddy, I said, you opened at a really nasty time. The moon was making a 0-degree conjunction to Saturn. Plain English on that one, you might as well put a canvas over the place. Nobody saw it. Completely negative energy. And this is all math and geometry. So he said, well, what can I do? I said, you got to reopen. I said, I would change the menu, you know, even change the name if you can, but reopen. He said, I'll do anything. I'm going broke. So it was interesting. I don't know. It was about probably about a week or two later, I came up with a really good time for him. And I said, the only time I can get for you to open is at night. And he goes, that's fine. I don't care. I'll do it. I says, and your business will probably lean towards night. So he did. He reopened it. and this is a true story. That guy was cooking after that. He invited all his friends and everybody to come for the big party. And I remember going in there about, oh, probably a month later. He's like, Jeff. Of course, I got free dinners for a long time. And he ended up selling that place, I don't know, 3 or 4 years later at a really nice profit. It was a horrible location, too. So there's a lot of usages in business for astrology, because if someone has their heart, soul, and money into what they're doing, what electional astrology does is gives you good times to put it out there. I've worked with soft drink companies in marketing their new product. Because you see this, you know, why is Red Bull out there and this one here is right behind them? You know, it's not just the product, it's not just the name, there's an energy on it. Same thing with clothing stores, fashion companies I do a lot of work with. I do a lot in the entertainment business. Producers want to know when's a good time to sign that contract. Signing a contract is like getting married to someone, you know, even though it's short term. You see, so if you sign the contract at an inauspicious time, meaning not a good energy, and it's really scientific, if the ruler of the eastern horizon, which is the person commencing the act, is not in harmony with the other signifactors in the chart, it's like clockwork. I've seen it. So it won't replace skills. It's not going to replace talent. And it certainly will not replace passion and drive. But like a stop-and-go light, it gives you a good wind at your back. It's a good energy. It tells you when the winds come and when you can hoist the sails, you see. And also gives you a time that commences the act of what you're doing without a lot of energetic impediments, which is the key.
So, Jeff, you know, my first guess is he is a publishing company, and I have written 3 books and books.
I do a lot of work with authors.
Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah. So, is there an author's out there and they're looking to release a book? Of course, after the time it takes to get the book together and all the moving parts of it, when it's done, we want to go. I mean, there's no way. We just want to go, right? But is there a better time to do that than not do that because of the astrology of it?
Yeah, there's 2 trigger points in deals like that. Number one, if you sign or go signatory to a major publisher, when you pen that deal is what matters. When it becomes irrevocable. Meaning that if a major publishing house says, okay, great, you know, Scheinman & Suster are going to sign you on or whoever it is, and they slide a check across the tape or a contract and a check to develop it or whatever, those deals aren't as prominent anymore. That is really crucial, because what I mean by irrevocable is when you sign and say, okay, this deal's rolling, that's what really matters. The second thing is when you release the book. Now, that one has been more complex because a lot of the larger publishers oftentimes will release it in one area or another area at different times. But in general, I've made it work really well when they release it on a good day. And then I give them windows. Now, if you're self-publishing, that's way easier. The reason why, self-publishing, most people can control. They're going to do a big splash on the internet. They might do some physical thing where they're actually, releasing it at a bookstore or a signing, or they may throw a party. The more media you can get in one big blitz, the better initially. And then from there, follow through. You know, I listened to you, by the way, and your guest for a few minutes as I was waiting in the queue, and some great stuff you guys were talking about. And that's true. You were the one saying, if you don't get behind this thing and push it, it's just going to sit there and dry up on the vine. And it's the same thing with astrology. You know, when you get that green light, we don't sit at the intersection with the brake on. You got to go, right? You know,
right,
and
right.
Really,
yeah.
I tell people the more push they can build towards this single day. Like, I do a lot of restaurant openings in New York and some of the larger over in Europe. And what we do, I always tell the owner, make it big. I don't care if you can't afford a lot. You can put a sign. You can put out balloons. You can do whatever. You know, bring people in on lost leader items. Same thing with book releases. Make a splash and get your media and everything in order and book radio stations, you know, and make it happen as much as you can on that astrological time.
Hmm. Now, Jeff, do you have a book?
No, I do not. In fact, I have three or four books I'm writing, but I am so busy with clients, I haven't had time to write them.
Yeah.
I've got a small motion picture company, and it just takes dedication to write a high-quality book, especially the kind of stuff I'm doing, because it's very detailed. But I'm, you know, I have to say, I'm so busy with clients every day, I don't have, I'm going to have to take a couple of months off and just do it. And that's hard because a lot of clients put me on retainer. I have some very substantial clients in the entertainment business, and when I'm on retainer, I'm literally on call, so they can call me up and ask questions, or you know, I do electional work for them. So it keeps me busy.
So I have a whole different look at this now. I mean, when I see astrology, you know, I think of stars and the moon and the sky and all that. I don't ever really look too deeply at it. And when I seen this interview coming up where you could help business owners understand the right times to do things and do different things like that, I was like, well, I don't know. You know, I'll tell you what I experienced. So there's a Mercury in retro. I'm sure you know about
Mercury, oh, yeah. Mercury goes retrograde three times a year, always has, always will.
Well, I have a friend of mine that when I'm saying to her, you know, because we do a lot of internet radio shows, 10, 12 a week, and so sometimes the internet is not cooperating. And she'll say, well, Mercury must be in retro, or it is in retro. I'm like, what the heck does that mean?
Well, you know, the geometry on that, see, if you go down the freeway and you watch a car that's next to you, if you're doing, say, 60 and that car is doing 55, if you don't look at anything else, it looks like that car is going backwards towards you because you're going 5 miles an hour faster.
Right.
And, you know, if they're going faster, it's the opposite. Well, it's the same thing. The Earth goes at its orbital speed. We know from the second grade astronomy that none of the planets go backwards. So what that means in plain English is from Earth's perspective, it appears sometimes like planets are going backwards. They're not, but they actually are from our perspective. You have to remember, this is geocentric astrology, which means Earth-based. We don't live on the sun like astronomers model. We live on the Earth. So everything, and the ancient astrologers were very, you know, I always laugh when I see these modern history books. I can show you stuff that is literally a couple thousand years old that, in my opinion, proves beyond a reasonable doubt. Not only did they know the Earth was round, they knew it was a globe and they knew it orbited the sun. And to take it even further, in the Vedantic scriptures, they knew that our whole solar system goes around the central sun called Alcyon, which NASA has absolutely corroborated. And they know now that we're doing close to 500 million miles an hour around the central sun. And it's so fast that we don't orbit the sun like we think in the models. We spiral behind it in orbit. So, and they knew all this stuff at least 2,000-3,000 years ago, at least 2,000 for sure. We have records to about maybe 2,400 BC, but interesting stuff. I'm sorry, about 2,400 years ago.
Okay, so there's logic to that. Okay, I mean, it's true.
It messes up communications. Oh, yeah, and it really does.
Right, so
but it's also a great time to back things up and repair.
Right, so is it safe to say that we can compare our bodies to the same type of thing, right? So with Mercury is in retro, our bodies 2-3 times a year, is our energy going to be jacked up like that is? I mean, does that happen to us?
I think physically, you know, it could affect people there's something called medical astrology, which you certainly look, you'd have to see a chart, but when someone asks a question, astrologers always look at what planet is direct and what is retrograde, and also what's its condition. Condition just simply means, is it strong or weak in the chart, by placement, by sign. And again, you know, ancient astrology is so much more detailed and rich than modern astrology. The stuff from the last century is, I call it love, light, and cluelessness. You know, it's probably safe to say, like, what's your sun sign?
I'm sorry?
What is your sun sign?
I don't know what that means.
Well, okay. A lot of people run around and say, I'm a Taurus, I'm a Virgo, I'm a...
Oh, Ben. Okay. Right. Yes. Okay. I thought that might have been it, but I wasn't taking any chances. Gemini.
See? Now, here's the problem with that. That was all started, well, it actually started as late as the late 1800s, but it really got popularized in the 1960s by a number of astrologers. One of them was Linda Goodman, and bless her heart, there's some truth to that. But the problem is today, everyone identifies astrology by their sun sign. And if you get into ancient Jyotish astrology, which is out of India, you're probably going to find your sun sign isn't even the same. In other words, you might be a Cancer instead of a Gemini in that astrology. So what I always tell people in readings, because about 50% of my work is readings and the other 50 is business clients all the time. And I would tell you that I always tell people in readings, you're not your astrology. You're not a Gemini. You're a soul having a physical experience. The astrology is not you. It's influencing you. And that makes you senior to it. And that's one of the things. I actually have a letter in the Middle Ages from a group of rabbis in Europe talking to a man named Maimonides. I don't know if you know who he is, but he was a very famous healer in Jerusalem. And they said, God, astrology is so accurate. We help so many people with medicine and business decisions. And he wrote back, he says, yes. He says, but, he said, people will have more faith in astrology than they will in God and their own volition. And I actually agree with him. And that's kind of what's happened today, is people treat astrology as, this is it. This is the be-all, end-all. And I would say it's kind of more like a vector. It's a force that's acting upon you, but you are stronger. And this is what positive, you know, the law of attraction and Tony Robbins and all the people, they're right. They're actually right. If you have a determination, you can overcome anything. However, it's smarter to know what you're up against. And instead of treating astrology like superstition, now to treat it what it is, it's energy. And right. The religions have made it out to be, ooh, it's the work of the devil. No, it's not. Not at all. In fact, if you look in ancient India, they had specific remedial measures. I have clients who are politicians, bankers, and I shouldn't mention this, but I actually got some clients in the Federal Reserve. And I can tell you, these people, they don't use it superstitiously. They know what they're doing. At least we hope they do. And what happens is they just want to know what's good timing or what is a probable outcome or what's up against us. It's like an airline pilot. They're assessing the terrain. They want to know what's the weather. It's amazing if you fly today. I mean, I flew not too long ago, and the pilot comes on the radio and says, well, folks, we're going to hit some turbulence here in about 11 minutes. And I thought, well, geez, 11. He didn't say 10 or a few. He said 11. And sure enough, in 11 minutes, boom, 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 bang, we're bouncing all over the place. And he, as a result, told the stewardesses not to break out the coffee. Now, that's using energy or knowledge appropriately. Same thing with astrology. If you see a crap storms coming your way in your business or what have you, you're going to be a lot smarter or better prepared if you know it's there and you know when it starts and when it ends, just like the pilot did. He knew with it. He said, no, well, folks, we're going to take it up to 39,000 feet or whatever it was. And we got right out of it. And then they broke out the coffee. So that wasn't superstition. That's called a radar screen, you know, and the same thing with astrology. If you look at, okay, you've got a cycle. like right now, I've got Mars and Sun in my 12th house, so my energy's a little down. So I know that. So I eat better. I'm laying off the coffee a little bit, and I'm taking it more easy in my communications with others. It's not superstition. It's energy.
Well, Jeff, I hate to cut you off here, but we've got about 20 seconds left. So, time just goes quickly, and I do apologize. But tell everyone how they can connect with you and help hopefully use your services.
Yeah, well, Tony, I want to use you as a bill connector. I love that collector, that name, Tony Gambone. You should be in a movie.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for somebody to invite me, that's all.
To cast you, right? You want to get cast,
yeah.
Right?
There you go.
All right, well, it was enjoyable, and it's a short time, you're right.
Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Thank you, Tony. Bye now.
All right, folks, we're up against the clock. I got seconds left, so we're back next week, and join us, please.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.